Hey folks, how's it going? I'm your host Austin Williams and welcome to Relevant Tones. We are chatting with the composer, multi-instrumentalist, producer, sound engineer, the multi-hatted individual David Kroll, about his most recent album release, Point Cloud. I was really compelled by this project, especially just from listening to the first track. All the polyrhythms, the textures layering, kind of tickled my brain in a specific way, so I really wanted to talk to him about it and kind of see how the sausage was made a bit. It was really cool to hear about his time collaborating with different artists, some of which are dear friends of his, some of which are just common cats you find with him in New York and where he's based. So I had a great time chatting with him. If you want maybe the full story of the album, check out his website. It goes into a bit more detail there. We talk about it somewhat, but we kind of have more of a relaxed conversation just about the process of the collaboration between his artists, and then we talk about some sound engineering for a bit. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil too much, so hope you enjoy it. Here is our interview, and thanks for listening.
My name's David Kroll. I'm composer, saxophone player, occasional electric guitar player. I've been in New York City for nearly 20 years, doing various things, composing for ensembles, running my own bands, just generally soaking in the scene here in New York. So, that's the very short story anyway.
Okay. Yeah, man. Well, I'm really glad I was able to, like I said, your press release came across my emails and it was really cool album. So I'm really glad I was able to nail down a time to work with you or to speak with you about it. Let's kind of jump in. Overall, I love the vibe, the aesthetics, the very like washed out, but very rhythmic aspects of it going on at the same time. Some lovely textures you're working with here. And the first thing I noticed is just the number of collaborators that you have on this album. And I was hoping you could maybe speak on maybe some of those collaborations and how they came about.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the opening track is Verses for Liminal Space, and that's with Sandbox Percussion. And I've been working with them for quite a while now, I think about 10 years or so. And we've done a couple quartets together. I've done, and they also arranged a saxophone piece I wrote for their quartets. Sure. So, I've worked with, Ian on a solo piece. That was kind of our initial, interaction together, called Celestial Sphere for Marimba. That's a long standing relationship. We're all pretty comfortable with each other at this point. We kind of, we get each other's thing and so we can really sort of get to making music and shaping the piece, pretty quickly. You know, we have a sort of common language at this point, which is really, a great thing and, a wonderful thing to have as a composer. And kind of the same for Dan LaPelle, really, who's the guitar player on Point Cloud, as well as Pacific Coast Highway, along with Mark Grigic, Slovenian guitar player. So both those guys I've been working with for a while. Dan, in particular, we've done a bunch of projects together, ranging from this piece. I wrote another piece for him on 19 EDO guitar, which is pretty fun. Completely different piece. Different kind of sounds. We work on his realizations of other composers. I'm also an audio engineer, so I work with him in that capacity. Cool. We're good friends, and we just we do a lot of music together in various different ways. And Mach, I've known for a while now too. And, we started out, I guess the first thing we did was, string quintet with guitar with Jack Quartet. That was about 10 or 11 years ago. And we've done a few things since then. For 2 Hours in Zadar, that's, my ensemble Ecotonal with Eva Kasianakos, who's, an amazing cellist and singer, singing cellist, if you will. She's phenomenal. And I almost all of my recent music, it seems, she's involved in some way.
Sure.
So I just love her voice and her cello playing. And she brings a lot of her own individual style and musicality to the work that she plays, including the piece on this record.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this recently. As a composer myself, you find those performers that are really great collaborators, and you just like you really want to hold on to them.
It's hard to develop these relationships because you know, you're looking for someone who is sympathetic and
right.
easy and fun to work with, and you know, all these things. And so exactly, when you find them, you just kind of it's fun to go back and just keep exploring music together. And that's pretty much everybody on this album. That's what I've been doing for a number of years.
Yeah.
In various forms. So
when you, when you were conceptualizing this album, were these collaborators in mind, or were you writing these pieces, maybe with them in mind, but you didn't know that it was going to be a whole thing? Kind of curious about that. Yeah.
Kind of the second. It's, the album came together over time, and I started noticing similarities between certain pieces or some kind of connecting tissue between certain pieces. And so at a certain point, it became apparent that these pieces go together for, you know, the following reasons or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In that sense, it was sort of... it wasn't planned like 100% from the beginning that these pieces are going to be together with these performers. But, as often happens, you just kind of you do your work. And then at a certain point, you realize, wow, this works.
Yeah, I mean, I see the through line throughout the album, which is really cool, especially, I mean, you have the one piece that's kind of in three parts, so obviously there's that, but the other pieces that surround it, there's a lot of continuity, especially like in the overall texture and the the aesthetic. I kind of mentioned that at the beginning of the episode. I love these lush areas that you're accessing that are really saturated in a lot of different textures, and how they're, you know, you're doing a really effective job with the whole minimalist thing of introducing themes and ideas and really developing them out over, you know, these long periods of time. And I found that really compelling. And I'm wondering, you know, was there a certain, what were you trying to access within these textures, or what were you trying to access within these like saturations that we hear throughout the album?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if this will totally answer the question, but I think it's related anyway, and sort of interesting. But I was kind of thinking of the pieces in terms of like colors, really, you know. Yeah. So like the first piece and the last piece, so the piece for percussion and the piece for Eva, the singing cellist with electronics. These are both, these pieces are about using a lot of different kinds of sounds and instruments, lots of sort of variety and texture. And I don't have synesthesia or anything, but I sort of see this in terms of like, I don't know, kind of like a little bit brighter colors, you know, orange or something like that. Yeah. And then the middle pieces, the guitar pieces, which are, you know, multiple guitars in both cases, existing, you know, having color, different colors within the guitar for sure.
Yeah.
But still nonetheless guitars. And so that this is kind of a more homogenous sound to some degree. And I kind of think of this as sort of like a darker color, like a blue or something like that. So sure. I started seeing it in terms of colors with how the album is put together, and sort of thinking of that as a way of connecting Zadar with Verses for Liminal Space, which on the surface are, you know, two pretty different sounding pieces. You know, Verses for Liminal Space has, you know, tons of polyrhythms, is very, you know, hyper-rhythmic, really, especially the first and last sections. And Zadar is basically without pulse completely, and it's more free-floating and spacious. So I see those pieces as pretty connected despite their kind of surface differences in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I was really drawn in instantly by the first track, Liminal Spaces, with that, all those rhythmic, all the hocketing and the polyrhythms going on. It just like, yeah, it immediately sucked me in. But one thing I think you're accessing, and maybe this is just another way to look at it, is regardless if as humans, if we have a condition such as synesthesia, or, you know, something like that. But I think that we are really good at connecting this idea of like warm and cool colors to music, or like aurally, rather than like directly, like this is this color one-to-one, but just like conceptually, like, oh, this is a cooler color, this is a warmer color. I think you mentioned like darkness or brightness, you know, and that's kind of a, I think that's a pretty ubiquitous experience.
Well, also, I mean, you'll appreciate this, but if you drag those tracks like into, you know, a mastering program or something, like and like turn on the color chart, like that's actually what they look like, which I hadn't really, you know, it's not why I started thinking of it that way, but then that sort of confirmed like that feeling about it, which is interesting. Yeah.
So as someone who also, I'm also a sound engineer, I'm curious, personally, and I think it'd be interesting to hear, how does like that world collide with your composing world? Do you think it kind of gets in the way sometimes, where you start to think too like, logistically or technically, and I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, for these pieces, I mean, I did record some of it, but I tend to leave the hardcore engineering to others when it comes to my own music, just because it really is too much to focus on. I sort of have to be more in a producer role and kind of be sitting there listening rather than messing with gear and stuff. But
I did
mix, you know, the entire album. I think it definitely doesn't get in the way. It gives me a little bit more creative license and the ability to kind of, not all the time, but sometimes figure out the final stages of the piece, like during that process. That happens sometimes where it's like, oh, this is what the piece is. Okay. By thinking about mixing in kind of a really detailed way. I mean, these pieces were all composed beforehand, but for instance, like Zadar in particular was more of a kind of free flowing production process, I would say. And so that very much is the reason why it sounds the way it does, was tied to the process of, you know, the production process of putting it together.
Yeah.
I don't find it ever really takes away, although I might feel that way if I was like setting up all the mics and doing all that stuff as well. That might be a bit too much.
Thank you. So yeah, I was reading some of the descriptions of your album, and it says that there's like a fair amount of improvising. And I'm curious. So you composed this music. Were you a performer on any of the tracks at all? Were you performing anything or?
Not this time around. Yeah. I mean, I'm quote unquote playing electronics in Zadar, but really I'm just, you know, obviously I came up with that beforehand. Yeah. Those are fixed electronics. So when we perform that piece live, I am on stage, but you know, Eva's doing the main live performing. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. No, I was just curious. And then, for the improvised moments, I'm curious, how you collaborated with individuals on that. What made you decide to maybe have some things be more improvised versus, you know, notated or codified?
Well, actually, most of the album really is pretty fully composed. Sure. I think some of my other pieces or bands or whatever are much more focused on improvisation than this particular record is. But there, I mean, there are a few little moments, even in verses. There's a few just little things. I think the most and for Point Cloud and PCH, there's none whatsoever. Pacific Coast Highway. Sure. For Zadar, though, like I was kind of alluding to before, that was more of a free flowing process. And so I initially came up with the electronics in full, and then I was like really really loving the electronics. I was like, okay, how am I actually going to get a performer, you know, Eva to you know, to add to this. So the process of like coming up with her part was basically I just sort of sing some melody notes to her, and I'd be like, okay, well, basically use these notes and don't resolve, you know, to this particular note.
Okay.
Same for the cello, you know, like I'm thinking, you know, these particular pitches, and you'll hear in the piece that it's pretty limited. It's more of sort of a meditation on like several different pitches in the cello and the voice. But then we went to the studio without really having a solidified part, and I basically had her just improvise with those pitches that we'd talked about, and just do a bunch of takes of the whole piece, and then after that, I basically created the part, you know, from her singing, and created a more sort of stable form for the piece. Like the piece has a pretty distinctive form in its final form that you hear, but that really didn't come together until we actually, you know, went into the studio and then I got to editing, which I tried to do very, very quickly and not too fussily. so as to not spend months on it. I think I did it in a couple of days. So that I would say that's sort of like quasi improvisation. You know, it's I'm leaning much more in that direction than some of the other pieces for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's, it's such an interesting process, kind of collaborating on composing something with a performer. It's kind of like co-composition, and it'll still be inherently improvised, maybe in the moment, but you've worked so intensely on what parameters you want to impose on like the improv or the moment in the piece, where it's. You're almost tricking the, you know, if you were to do it live, you're like tricking the audience. You know, it's seemingly improvised, but it's really, you know, like you said, you have these really tight parameters on it, so the solutions are pretty limited on what can happen.
I think that I wanted to leave it open, not necessarily in terms of pitches, but in terms of phrasing. In that sense, it lets, especially in the live performances we do of it, there is a sort of she gets transported, let's say it that way.
Sure.
In the way that happens is yes, she has these pitches, but there's a freedom to come in certain places, or maybe you come in a little later the next time, or you hold this note a little longer, and like all of that stuff allows her to really get inside of the music. And so I think that that's where the real spontaneity comes from. And so the electronics stay the same, but the But her performance is always a little different. It follows the same essential things that you hear in the recording, but she's also feeling it out on stage, which is something that I really enjoy listening to. And sometimes as a composer, I love to do that as well.
Bon.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're really giving them autonomy over how they want to. And some performers love that. Some are, no, like, give me the music. But it's great, well, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Eva is, I've worked with her so much, and she's such an intuitive performer that she thrives, I think, in this situation. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, it's great. I mean, knowing your performers and how to really, like, yeah, just make them feel the most comfortable and empower them. You know, that's really important job of, I think, composers, especially, I don't know. I think a lot of people, composers, creators, artists are breaching into this territory and working with others. And yeah, it's just, gosh, it's an important skill to have. I think it's a really cool cultural shift. That's maybe what I'm trying to get at here. Is recently I've noticed that being a lot more common, in a lot more, like, the dynamic between the composer and the performer. It's not so much the blurring of the lines, but the relationship is becoming so much more collaborative.
I think that probably comes from my background as an improviser and jazz musician. Like, I got into composition, through composition for new music ensembles, because I was interested in actually writing all of it, you know, embracing that challenge, as well. And so, on this album, you know, that's largely what I'm doing, but at the same time, the sandbox piece, evolved over time through just listening to sort of how they're playing it and then making changes based on that. I like to be flexible that way, because you sort of have your ideal as a composer, and then you bring it to performers and they have a slightly different feeling about it or view on it. And it's good to try and keep your mind open and respond to those things, because you might find that your ideal is actually not what you thought your ideal was, and that if you're open to that process, it can be really fruitful, I think.
Do you find
fun? It's more fun too.
No, totally. So, yeah, I mean, you're both gonna get a better result, and your performer's gonna have a better time performing, and the music's gonna be better in general. What I was gonna ask is, did you find that those changes, like, what? It sounds like you're pretty solidified in the form of your lot of work, so maybe it was the micro changes maybe that shifted from that experience.
We worked a lot for the sandbox piece. We worked a lot on the first section in particular. The second two sections are pretty much the same, though we tried a lot of variations of bowing, non-bowing, various different kind of textures in the middle section, which was really helpful. We changed a good number of things in the first section. Like you said, not necessarily the form, but the orchestration, at certain points, just to, it's just part of the process. I think some composers, their scores are like sort of unbelievably detailed, and and mine are detailed. I mean, they're detailed enough, but I sort of like to give a lot of, you know, I have all the notes, I have all the rhythms, all that stuff.
Right.
I have some instructions about, you know, dynamics, of course, everything like that. But, you know, there is some element of leaving it a little bit open to see what people will do with it. And then once you hear what they do with it, then you go from there, you know, and I find that a little bit more of an interesting way to work than to kind of come in with such a specific, solid idea, that there's no flexibility, to go anywhere else.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing I really wanted to point out is I really love the visuals that you're working with on a lot of the videos.
Cool.
And your other multimedia stuff. I think it's all really lovely and really enhances the RL and audio experience. So.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't advertise it as, you know, as much because I am mostly a composer, but the video for Zadar, we did basically our friend Tony in Croatia. Mm-hmm. He lives in Split, and he took a bus ride to Zadar and spent a day shooting all this footage. And so then I kind of used that raw footage and kind of completely transformed it with sort of all the colors and this that you're seeing and the various mm-hmm. scenes. But all of the footage that we're using or that I was using to manipulate comes from Zadar itself and cool. from Tony and his work there, which is really nice. So that was a great collaboration and nice to actually have it from the place that the piece is based on.
That's awesome. Cool, man. Well, thanks for your time. I hope that we talked about everything that makes sense and is meaningful related to the album. But again, congratulations on the album. I really enjoyed it. I hope it. Hope it everything else goes well.
Cool. Thank you.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Relevant Tones. I sure enjoyed my time speaking with David and getting to know more about his album. Do check out his other stuff. We talked about it briefly, but he has some lovely audiovisual stuff on his website, some great videos, some other media. He's collaborating with some great people in New York. Excited to see what he does next, and selfishly hope he makes his way out to Chicago sometime so I can go see a performance, or maybe some of his works can be performed out here. David, if you're listening, let me know. We'll make it work. This is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks.